the Gospel of Life, Evangelium Vitae. Came about in sort of a unique fashion. The Holy Father had called to Rome. All the cardinals of the world for an extraordinary consistory in April of
1991.
And before they came, he asked them to do an analysis, a study of what was the condition of life in their area. And they were to write it out that it could be presented to the other cardinals and be read. And so in April of 1991, all the cardinals of the world met in Rome. The first cardinal got up and he began to read about the conditions of life in his country. What were the difficulties and the problems? And then the next cardinal got up and he began to read about the problems and difficulties in his country. And the next cardinal got up, he did the same thing. And before the fourth cardinal stood up, they started to look at one another. It was like mirror reporting of the condition. It was the same all over. And they began to realize this is not an accident. This is an international conspiracy against life. That life is being threatened across the world. And this attack on life is not accidental. It's systematic. It's subsidized by untold millions of dollars. And it's coming as much from without as from within into each of the countries. And so they suddenly realized the urgency of this matter. And they asked the Holy Father that he must write an encyclical on life itself and address it to all the world. It's like, you know, Humani Vitae. Why does that disturb the world? Because the Pope Paul VI addressed that to all the world. Sometimes you have to say, oh, you're a Catholic, you can't use contraceptives. That's not true. You can't use them because you're a human being. It wouldn't make any difference if you were Jewish, Muslim, or no religion. It would be wrong. In other words, the Holy Father is saying this is against nature, against the natural law. That's what nature is. When we speak about the natural law,
Und wenn du gegen das Naturgesetz auftrittst, sprichst,
we mean, what is your makeup? What is your nature as God has designed you?
Davon, was ist der Plan Gottes mit dir? Was ist deine Natur? Was macht den Menschen von der Natur aus?
And you must conform to your nature.
Und du musst in deinem Handeln deiner Natur entsprechen.
Or follow the natural law.
Und das bedeutet, dein Naturgesetz zu folgen.
So then he starts speaking like, there is no natural law.
Und die Diskussion begann dann, dass sie gesagt haben, es gibt keine Naturgesetz.
We can change our nature.
Und man hat begonnen zu sagen, wir können unsere Natur.
We can perfect it.
Wir können sie sogar noch verbessern.
See, and the Holy Father, no, no.
Und der Heilige Vater sagt, nein.
He addressed Umani Vitae to all mankind. That's why they so attacked Umani Vitae. It disturbs conscience. So don't think because you're Catholic you are not allowed to use contraceptives. The church is teaching is it doesn't make any difference what religion you are, you may not do so. This encyclical of Evangelium Vitae is addressed to all the world. And what the Holy Father did was he wrote a personal letter on the Feast of Pentecost in
1991
to all the bishops of the world, and he asked every bishop to send back what was the condition of life in his diocese.
Was die Bedingungen für das Leben jener Diözese sein.
And then only did he take the findings of all the cardinals and all the bishops of the church that had responded.
Und dann hat er all das gesammelt und alle Schreiben der Bischöfe und das Ergebnis des Kardinalkonsistoriums verwendet.
And for the next 4 years,
und in den nächsten 4 Jahren,
he prayed over and poured over this matter.
Und
and then finally on the Feast of the Annunciation,
March 25, 1995,
he produced an encyclical which is probably the most collegial encyclical in the history of the church. Collegial. In other words, the feed-in or the helping to establish this encyclical came from all the bishops and cardinals of the world. So its force or its importance cannot be underestimated. It's the universal church speaking to the modern world. This evening I will just try to whet your taste that you may drink in the whole encyclical. On your own. Because I could not do it in an hour. There's 110 chapters. I can give you a sense of what to look for. In sections 1 to 24, sections 1 to 24. Okay, go ahead. I have to tell him one. Let me get you. Sections 1 to 20. 28. No problem.
I think I'll be 1 to 24.
I drink in.
The other kama is on you.
Now he tells me. Friends like this, I need no enemy.
You know, God sees everything.
This is true. Never forget that, Dima.
No, I can't. I'm always protected
by God.
Thank you.
And Claudia.
Wir wiederholen in Chapter 1 to 24, Kapitel 1 bis 24.
Sections 1 through 24.
Kapitel 1 bis 24.
The Pope reflects on where are we at?
Wo stehen wir heute?
How did we get there?
Wie sind wir dazu gekommen, zu diesem Dilemma?
Where are we going?
Und wohin führt das?
So where are we at?
Und wo stehen wir heute?
He concludes at a culture of death.
Ja, fast zusammen.
What? How did we get there, or what are the causes? And then what? And what will be the consequences if we continue in this direction? He says, "How did we get here?" In those first 24 sections, he speaks about how we have separated freedom from truth. How we have absolutized freedom. Why have we forgotten about truth? He said, well, the seeds of this doubt were sown centuries ago. In philosophical language, there was in the Age of Enlightenment reducing the area of faith as not attainable, of making making what you know by senses is really the only thing that we can be sure of, sense knowledge. Of doubting if the intellect can arrive at a truth that we all could agree upon. That everybody's idea of truth is subjective. There is no such thing as a universal truth. Now, in America, our founding fathers thought there was such a thing as a universal truth. A universal truth is self-evident. It doesn't need to be proved. And our founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence said there are certain self-evident truths, such as such as life comes from God. And every human life has a right to be free and to pursue happiness.
Die Freiheit hat, frei zu sein,
that these truths are self-evident and they belong to every individual and must not be taken away from them, inalienable. And they said, we are institutionalizing a government now who recognizes these self-evident truths and will protect every single human innocent life. And allow them to be free.
And
to pursue truth. And our founding father said, whenever any government does not respect life of a person,
diese Gründungsväter haben gesagt, jede Regierung, die nicht das erlaubt, die Freiheit zu leben,
and their freedom to worship God and to pursue happiness,
Gott anzubeten,
such a government must be rejected and overthrown.
Dass diese Regierung abgewählt werden muss und beseitigt werden muss.
That was the basis of the American Revolution. And in the modern world, we suddenly say there are no self-evident truths. That truth becomes subjective and relative to every person, whatever you think it is. Ethics become relative to the subjective ideas of a person. Ethical relativism. And a government should exist to make sure everybody can follow whatever truths they subjectively think is right or wrong.
Dafür sorgen muss, dass jeder die Wahrheit glauben kann und tun kann, die er selber kann.
And so, freedom must be the only value, the absolute value of a democracy.
Und deshalb ist es heute so, dass gesagt wird, die Freiheit muss der absolute, der höchste Wert in einer Demokratie sein.
But you know, freedom separated from truth,
aber wir wissen, die Freiheit ist getrennt von der Wahrheit,
results in tyranny. See? And so what happened was democracy was now being institutionalized as a government that would eliminate from laws all values, all truths.
Als höchstes Ziel die Freiheit hat und alles ausgeschieden hat vom Wert, von den Werten und so weiter.
On the one hand, any law that contained a value was being challenged as unconstitutional.
Auf der einen Seite ist es jedes Gesetz, das nicht verfassungsmäßig erkannt oder genannt worden,
because it was contrary to the value of some other person.
Weil es eben das Gegenteil war.
And so the value was removed from the law. Freedom is absolutized. And the very place where one generation passes on to the next generation wisdom. The next generation was being deprived of all the wisdom gathered up by previous generations. Namely, of what is right and wrong. What are our rights and duties?
Was sind die Rechte und Pflichten?
How we should treat each other?
Wie sollen wir einander behandeln und miteinander
umgehen? How do we maintain a civilized society?
Wie können wir eine zivilisierte Gesellschaft aufbauen?
Suddenly, that gift that's contained in the law that contains these values was being totally destroyed. So, law by law, the protection of the unborn, the sacredness of marriage or family, each one by one, is being systematically destroyed.
So it's systematisch. Von einem Gesetz zum anderen, der Wert der Heiligkeit des Lebens, des Sakramentes, zerstört worden.
In the name of freedom.
Und zwar alles im Namen der Freiheit.
And conversely, the values that our founding fathers and those precede us tried to prevent from flourishing, were institutionalized into the law. Like a right to have an abortion.
Man hat eben dieses Recht vertreten, ein Recht auf Abtreibung.
Like the right of two people of the same sex to have relations.
Man hat so das Recht gemacht, dass zwei Menschen miteinander heiraten dürfen.
And suddenly, we were institutionalizing sin.
Und dann hat man in der Folge sogar die Sünde.
It was becoming the very structure of our society. This had never happened before in the history of mankind. That you make sin a constitutional right. Enforced by the government. Subsidized by the government. And so suddenly we have in America, it's a constitutional right to rip a child out of your womb.
Es ist heute in Amerika ein verfassungsmäßiges Recht, ein Kind im Unterleib umzubringen.
Which is paid for by the government.
Was sogar noch durch Steuergelder unterstützt wird bei der Regierung.
Which is protected by the government.
Was diese Kultur des Todes ist geschützt wird bei der Regierung.
And to do this, they use the health personnel.
Und diese Töten und durchzuführen, verwenden sie das Gesundheitspersonal.
There's no other way you could have done it. To make people buy the lie that killing is good for you, you get the people who are the healers. You get the people who are the most respected people in society. The medical profession. To become the executioners. How could this be wrong? If a doctor is doing it, whom up to now you had great trust in, he would not do anything to harm me or my child. Now you have to be careful that he kills your child when you're young and you when you're old. So what has happened is suddenly we have, the Holy Father says, an international conspiracy where these ideas are spread. Where sin is put into the very structure of society, where freedom is absolutized apart from truth, and democracy is no longer, democracy becomes the new tyrant.
Und die Demokratie wird, ist ein Weg nicht mehr länger, es wird die moderne Tyrannei.
Our Holy Father said, an act against humanity remains an act against humanity, whether it is done by an unscrupulous dictator or by a majority vote in a so-called democracy. Just because the majority of people vote for abortion, it doesn't make an inhumane act human. And the so-called democracy is a state of tyranny.
Demokratie ist eben Stand im Status einer Tyrannei.
In which the majority are suppressing the weak and the helpless.
Wo die Mehrheit die Schwachen, die Hilflosen unterdrückt.
So the Holy Father says, democracy in itself is not sacred. It is to be judged like all other forms of government. What is its purpose and end? What are the means that it uses? And if they are not morally good and holy, that democracy must not be accepted. And so he says, eventually, as we start to legislate and legalize evil,
wenn man es begonnen hat, Schritt für Schritt das Böse zu legalisieren,
we lose a sense and we absolutize freedom,
dann verlieren wir den Sinn und wir absolutieren die Freiheit,
and we refuse to reflect with our intellect on who is man,
und wenn wir uns verweigern darüber nachzudenken, wer der Mensch ist,
we try to understand the creature without accepting the Creator. Which is impossible. We lose a sense of God. And when we lose a sense of God, we do not know who we are. Because a creature is unintelligible apart from the Creator. We lose a sense of sin when we lose a sense of God. We become a people that are no longer able to discern what is right or what is wrong. We enter into total darkness, into a culture of death. So the Holy Father, in the first 24 sections, is describing that we have reached the point that we are in a culture of death. And there is, who will free us? There is no free world. When Europe was in difficulties in the 30s and 40s, there was a so-called free world that could come to help the people who were enslaved. But when the whole world is going into darkness, who can come to free us? And in section 25, the Holy Father says, I give you the answer. for the victory of the culture of life. He said, it is the blood of Christ. He said, there is a blood that cries out more eloquently than the blood of Cain to the ears of God. It is the blood of the Son of Mary, Jesus, the Son of God. He says, first, the blood of Christ, when we reflect upon it, gives us hope. Because only the blood of Christ can satisfy the justice of God for all the innocent blood being shed today. But it is a blood that is manifesting at the same time as it satisfies the justice of God. It is manifesting to us the mercy of God. Because one drop of this precious blood is sufficient to remove all the sins of the world. He said, you must reflect on the blood of Christ to come again to an awareness of how precious you are in God's eyes. At what price was your salvation bought? Not with gold or money. It was with the blood priceless of the Son of God. And every single person is priceless in God's eyes and precious. Because it shows how valuable they are in the sight of God. It also shows you the incredible love of God for you. He didn't just shed a drop of blood. He poured out his blood to the last drop. Then he said this. It's when we reflect on the blood of Christ that we can understand freedom. He said freedom by its very nature is not meant to be turned in on oneself, but to find its fulfillment in another. It has a relational aspect to it. Freedom only finds its fulfillment in relationship to another. When with the intellect we come to awareness of truth, with freedom we're able to give ourselves totally to the truth. And he said, Jesus at the end of his life shows us how to use the gift of freedom. And what it is about, and what freedom is. He said, when you see blood, especially if it's your own blood, you are sort of fearful. Because blood is a sign of life. And if it's pouring out of you, you are fearful of your life until it stops pouring out of you. Or you're crazy. But he says, when you behold the blood of Christ, it is not a sign of death. It's a sign of life. It is someone pouring out themselves for the other. To the last drop of their precious blood, to bring about a union between the one and the other, or a communion. And so on the cross, Jesus says to the Father, freely I give myself to you. Freely I lay down my life for you and you and you. Why, Jesus? Because I love you. And you only can love if you give your life away. And freedom enables you to become one with the beloved. It's in dying that you are born to eternal life. It's in the giving that we find fulfillment. Ultimately, the only thing you take with you to heaven is what you gave away on earth. Everything you try to hold on to will be left behind. And so the proper use of freedom is to bring about union and communion. The proper use of freedom is to allow us to love, to give ourselves totally to God and to one another. And man's use of freedom today is the exact opposite. My body, my choice. My choice. I do whatever I want to do. Don't limit my selfish freedom. Let me destroy myself in you. And God says and gives us the total opposite answer. Jesus teaches us by word. The kingdom of God is built on sacrifice. The kingdom of God is like a seed falling into the ground and dying to bring forth much. Unless you deny yourself and take up the cross, you cannot be my disciple. And then it is on the cross itself that God teaches the final lesson of life. By his example, he freely, as we say at the Mass, freely accepts. He freely gives his life to us in the Eucharist. And when you find the other, When you find truth, which is ultimately a person, it is God. And it is others. And you forget about self. Selfishness. Yeah, we have idols, we adore ourselves. And we give ourselves to the truth, to others, totally in love. Now we have a culture of life. So he stresses, the our Holy Father, he stresses in various places throughout this encyclical that the very example of Jesus Christ teaches us what a culture of life is. He teaches us that we must know the truth and never separate it from freedom. We must pursue the truth and give ourselves totally to the truth. I am the truth, says Jesus. I am the way and the life. And giving yourself to God incarnate in Jesus Christ. Is to enter deeply into this culture of life. For then the Holy Father begins to say, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The culture of life is a person. It is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Father says this, you are people of life and for life. I give you a mandate. And the mandate is this, yes, protect life with law, but we have long since passed that point. I give you a commandment to promote life, to re-establish a culture of life, not simply protect life with law, but to be Christians, to bring Christ to our society today. To bring Christ to our society today. It is the only answer. It is the answer that was given to us in the beginning. The woman and her son.
In the Bible, Kapitel 3, Genesis 15, the ground.
And as he develops the encyclical, he says, know that when you are going to the other, you're going to Christ. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers and brethren, the Holy Father says is real new meaning when we're talking about the unborn child. Whatever you do to the unborn children, I will consider as done to me. And so we are bringing Christ to Christ. And there is no other answer. And so we are told not to be, we're pro-life, they're anti-life. We are to see something different. We are a people of life. And our obligation is to make the life of Christ present today.
Das Leben von Christus in der heutigen Zeit sichtbar, präsent zu machen.
We stress that there are no enemies.
Es ist wichtig, und wir legen Wert darauf, zu sagen, es gibt keine Feinde.
God came into a world that was a culture of death.
Gott kam in die Welt, und zwar, und da ist eine Kultur des Todes.
God came into a world that was broken. It is still broken. There are many people in the culture of death. He came into a world that was broken, and he came because he loved us. He wanted to restore us. He wanted to bring us back to himself. So in this encyclical, the Holy Father stresses, Christ is the culture of life, but Jesus, to be brought to this world, has to be done through the people of life. As I have mentioned before, we conclude with it. When God first came into the world, he asked Mary for two permissions. May I live within you? She said, fiat. The word took flesh. He then said to Mary, I want another permission. Will you give me to the world? And she did, even to the point of Christ on the cross. And I say that as she stood at the foot of the cross, Mary understood better than anyone else that her son was a priest. She understood better than anyone else what was going on that cross. And if you think Mary didn't speak to Jesus, then you don't know what a mother is. The mother had to speak to the son. I could see Mary at the foot of the cross looking up at her son Jesus. And saying to him, Jesus, you stay right on that cross. You complete the work the Father gave you. You are a priest. And this is the sacrifice. And the whole world is being renewed now. I know it, you know it. Mary Magdalene, John, we will be here praying you through it.
Maria, Magdalena, and Johannes stehen hier, um dir zu helfen.
We'll be here suffering with you.
Wir sind hier, um bleiben mit dir.
We'll be here loving you to the end.
Wir lieben dich bis zum Ende.
And then will be the beginning.
Und dann ist der Anfang.
For you will rise from the dead.
Für deine Auferstehung vom Tod.
We are called by God for two permissions.
Und Gott fragt uns heute zwei Fragen Erlaubnis.
God says, may I live within you. In a few minutes at Mass, we will say yes. And God will come to us in Holy Communion. And then God will say to us, like Mary, I want another permission. I still want to go to this broken world. I want to go to this world where it is midnight at midday. Where the innocent blood is being shed. I cannot do so in my risen body. I can only do it through my mystical body. But when you pray and stand outside of these killing centers, it is Jesus Christ who's praying and standing. And it's the power of Jesus going through you out to the world that changes everything. And where Jesus is, so is his mother. And the cross continues. And the sacrifice is renewed. And it's lived. And the Holy Father says, this is what we need. Christians living the Mass, bringing Jesus Christ to a world that today desperately needs it. And then once again we will have a culture of life. And the Holy Father concludes with this prayer, which I will read. It's at the end of the encyclical. In which he addresses it to Mary, the mother of Jesus. He says, O Mary, bright dawn of the new world.
O Maria,
Mother of the living, to you do we entrust the cause of life. Look down, O Mother, upon the vast numbers of babies not allowed to be born, of the poor whose lives are made difficult, of men and women who are victims of brutal violence, of the elderly and the sick killed by indifference or out of misguided mercy, grant that all who believe in your Son may proclaim the gospel of life. With honesty and love to the people of our time. Obtain for them the grace to accept that gospel as a gift ever new, the joy of celebrating it with gratitude, throughout their lives, and the courage to bear witness to it resolutely, in order to build together with all people of goodwill the civilization of truth and love to the praise and glory of God, the Creator and Lover of life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay.
And bring it to the world.
And after you celebrate here. mass in the upper room, we celebrate mass in the world.
That's right. That's it. To live the mass in the world is the answer. Anyone that tells you you shouldn't pray at Golgotha outside of abortion clinics, be they bishops or priests, are nuts.
Through the cross, my death to pay, from the cross to the